Innovation Rockstars. Innovation Rockstars.
In this episode, we welcome Dr. Eva Mitterreiter, Head of Innovation and New Business Building, Consulting at Bosch, and Jennifer Graff, Partner at Digiteers. With the goal of creating the greatest possible customer value, Eva and Jennifer are partnering to combine their strengths and offer transformation and business model innovation consulting services. We discuss the consulting approach they follow and what their partnership looks like, including benefits, challenges, and their formula for success. Want to learn more? Then tune in.
Now on Innovation Rockstars.
Hi, and welcome back to Innovation Rockstars. My name is Chris Mühlroth, and in this episode, I'm excited to welcome two guests, Dr. Eva Mitterreiter, who is Head of New Business Building and Innovation Consulting at Bosch, and Jennifer Graff, who is Partner at Digiteers. So in another episode with Manuel Kraus, also from Bosch, we talked about organizational ambidexterity and how business model innovations are created, launched, and scaled at Bosch. So in this episode, we'll dive into the genesis of all of this. This is an exciting topic. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thanks for having us, Chris.
All right. So let's kick things off, as always, with a 60 seconds introduction sprint for both of you. And this sprint is really about you, your career, and your current role. So we will start with Eva, and then Jennifer is next. So I'd say for the next 60 seconds, Eva, the stage is all yours. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Eva. I'm a business model innovation specialist and enthusiast at Bosch. I started there around 8 years ago with a PhD in business model innovation. And then I built up the central department of BMI, so business model innovation, with some very engaging colleagues of mine. And we kind of brought new business models into the organization. So we did this via a business model academy, via our Bosch Accelerator program, from what Manuel, I'm sure, told you a little bit about, where we test and validate a lot of ideas. And we also do hands-on BMI consulting. I, for my part, did around 150 to 200 startups coaching and supporting. And now I'm in a business unit at the Bosch Engineering, and I do transformation and business model consulting together with Jennifer, for example, from the Digiteers. And yeah, privately, I'm calling from Nuremberg. I am renovating a house there. So next big project.
Many big projects. All right. Sounds great. Thanks. Jennifer, next stage. This is yours.
Hi, I'm Sam Hai from Munich, and as you said, I'm a partner at Digiteers, and Digiteers, you may not know it, it's quite new on the market since 2 years. It's a digital transformation and management consultancy. And yeah, with my passion for people and innovation, I support many different clients, mostly industry clients, to succeed in this new digital era. And we do it from strategy to implementing and developing digital products and services. And what did I do before? Some years ago, I started at a small foresight company. I think that's where my passion for innovative topics grew. And afterwards, I was strategy consultant at IBM, also pushing innovative topics at diverse clients, always in the intersection between IT and business. I did, for example, I created a innovation lab incubator for a client, did different digital business models, and implemented also digital services and products.
Thanks. All right. Great story. Now, as next thing, here are two sentence starters for each of you. And I would like you to complete those sentences. And we will start with Jennifer. So your sentence starter is, the next big wave in innovation will be?
I think collaborative ecosystems and partnerships. And we will dive into that topic today.
Okay, perfect. Eva, the next one is for you. I work in consulting because?
Because I love supporting our customers and bringing them forward by sharing our knowledge that we collected, but also our lessons learned from the last years.
Brilliant. All right, Jennifer, next one is on you. The sentence goes like this. Any organization needs an operating system because...
because as a good football game or any other game, also companies need some playbook to be able to operate and to play the game.
Very cool. Play the game. All right. And Eva, that's the second one for you. The impact of artificial intelligence on building new businesses probably will be?
Probably will be huge, radical, disruptive.
Huge, radical, and disruptive. Brilliant. Okay. So yeah, let's talk consulting for a bit and let's zoom out first. And be it external or internal, consulting doesn't really matter. So my personal feeling is that consulting as a term and as an offering itself has quite a polarizing effect these days, right? So for some, consulting still appears to be expensive, highly competitive, human resource intensive. And, you know, as an outcome, you get PowerPoint slides, you work from Monday to Thursday, on Friday, you do all the PMO tasks and so on. You know those rumors, you know, and stuff. And, you know, the question is, if we can talk about this, right? Is the consulting business actually still like that? Or is it changing? And where is innovation happening in the consulting business?
Mm-hmm. I think, yes, it is changing and it needs to be. It needs to change, actually, because I think from different point of views. And I think the first one is, as you said, like back in the days or also the last years, it was like that you work a lot of hours, like 24 hours a day. And I think that's changing. That's the first thing that the new generations are not willing to do that anymore because they have a higher focus on work-life balance and want to do other things than just work. And also maybe the values change as well. That's, I think, the first thing. And consultancies and other companies as well need to adapt to it. And I think the second thing, also very important thing, is that all information are now available, right? Like for clients, for everyone. So consultancies, it was previously the thing. They had their frameworks, they had their methods. And so they need to change. And I think they need to change to a more asset-based consultancy where consultancies also create their own processes, their own products and own services on top of their normal approach. So I think that there are two, things from my side.
I would add maybe more specifically when we go in our daily work, when we work with our customers, we see that there's really a growing need also for more operative hands-on support and implementation strength. So the customers do not only want that classical strategic and methodological part of consulting where you have slides and then can go to a internal stakeholder journey, but that you always also have a strong operative hands-on support. And this, I think, is becoming much more important in times of crisis when we see budget cuts all over the place and especially in innovation, right? So we see that a lot of firms are struggling. They do not have budget. They also do not have enough headcount to really try new ideas and validate them. So it was also a trigger for us thinking about how can we bring in a strong focus and a very quick and fast value creation.
I think that's really interesting to also get, back to the, I don't want to say good old days, right? But just getting your hands dirty again, not talking too high level and creating just frameworks and processes, but actually also executing. That could be really valuable, especially, Jennifer, as you said, if you productize maybe some of the offerings that exist, include some execution parts to it. I think that's really cool. And, on top of that, I've heard the sentence collaboration is the new competition quite a few times recently. And I think in a previous episode with Audi and McDonald's, this statement came up too. And, it kind of refers to leaders and organizations acknowledging the fact that even their, best individual efforts cannot stack anymore against, today's complex problems. One example of this might be, innovating along the entire supply chain, for example, right? You cannot do this alone. Obviously, you need to do this with partners, with suppliers, across and along the supply chain, and maybe even second, third, fourth level, depending on how this is set up. So, how could you possibly approach the new normal, and what role does then partnering play in your concept?
Yeah, Chris, so we totally agree with this. And this is also something we see in our daily work that you also have mentioned, that especially when you're working with new business models, there are more and more ecosystems needed. Firms realize that they cannot offer what is needed on the market just by themselves. So they need a strong partnering approach, and we see them everywhere, right? In the automotive sector, for example, in autonomous driving, in a software-defined vehicle area, for example, or in consulting, as we are talking about today. And our approach, our view is that apart from, of course, partnering to create a win-win situation, it's also to build up a long-term relationship, to bring some stability into the game, to offer our customers really a stable value proposition and experience so that they, on their side, do not have to hop from one partner to another, but they know that they can rely on us. And that they know what they have if they work with us together.
Yeah. And I would like to add something. I think that's a really good point, this long-term view, because I think we said when we talked about it, I think it was a few weeks ago, we had that topic with another colleague, and they also said like a partnership tourism, and we don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and I think it's also important maybe to say what it's not a partnership. So I think it's also important that we don't want to do everything. So we say we partner up to do a specific thing. And not to do everything in the supply chain, but to incorporate really the experts for it and the experts that complement each other. I think that's important as well.
Yeah, I think so. This is a fair point also. Now, okay, this is the benefits, right? Could you also talk some about some of the challenges, facing or maybe even being incorporated, with the partnering approach? One could be, sourcing, can you even source a partnered approach in many companies as a joint venture or as a joint group? So what are some of the, challenges you typically face with the partnering approach?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the challenges, it's right in the beginning, actually, when you are searching for the right partner to partner with. And I think it's that you have to check whether you have the same values and also the same understanding of specific terms and the topics you're working with the client. Because what I noticed is that, for example, when you say a buzzword like agile or business model innovation, like different companies and also different people, I mean, we're all individuals, have different opinions about it. And that's why I think it's a challenge, and also on the other hand, very important to sort that out in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think I can add, like, if it's on the one hand the alignment of terms and the content, but on the other, like in our case, also the alignment of processes, right? So we as Bosch, for example, are a very big ship with complicated processes sometimes, and like the Digiteers are a smaller consultancy. And so kind of need to bring that together. When we started our partnership, it was like we were all very motivated and we wanted to bring things forward very quickly. But then we're sometimes slowed down by kind of the administrative processes in the back, especially from the Bosch side. Maybe. So that is one thing.
Yeah.
And then I would say another perspective on the customer side. When we're talking to customers, sometimes that we get the question, well, can I ask you something provocative? So why do you as Bosch need a partner? Can't you do it all by yourself? Yeah. And we say, well, we are a big company with a broad know-how and network, but we cannot do everything on our own. And I think this is also kind of a mindset change also for us within Bosch, that there are more and more people really realizing that this not invented here syndrome, that they kind of overcome it and say, well, there's really a benefit if we partner with other firms to really get the best value creation and the best additional value for our customers.
Right. And honestly, the not invented here syndrome is something that is specifically when you try to change something, move something, and then bring it to the organization, is something that is, encountered quite frequently. Do you have any ideas or even approaches on how to overcome that, for example, specifically? Like, how could you possibly go around not invented here syndrome for, teams that you want to engage?
Well, of course, it's challenging. And of course, it's not something you can solve from one day to the other, right? It's a mindset change in the organization. But like, for example, at Bosch, we have an open innovation initiative, which is growing stronger and stronger, which is communicating, which is really making aware all our employees what the benefits are of some partnership, of collaboration. And then I think it just needs to sink in, and you have to kind of tell the story all over again, which is the same in business model innovation, by the way. Different KPIs, different methods, different processes. It's just something that, and you cannot blame like a Bosch employee, because they have been doing the other way their whole life, right? And they learn something new. So it takes a little bit of time. But I think with patience and just repetition and some new minds that are fresh minds that are also coming to the company, I think we have already moved a little bit ahead in that.
And I think that's also a syndrome also on the client side, because as a consultant, I'd see it also on the client side, that sometimes they say then, okay, for this specific matter, we want you and we want you to support us. But this thing we want to do on our own and we want to, inform everyone that we did that and spread the message. So I think it's also, also on the client side.
very much agreed. So the key, could we say the key to overcome this, or one of the keys to unlock basically this, is communication, right? And then repetitive communication, and just making sure you communicate correctly and hopefully and rightfully. Is that one thing we could say?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That is one thing. And then, I mean, we can add to what we just mentioned before, to the challenges, right? Like for the administrative processes, it's more like also patience again, also a little bit planning ahead. Like we are no newbies at Bosch. We kind of know how to play the system. So we know when there's a project coming that we really start early with those processes. And on the customer side, what I just talked about also, about the value of our partnership, explaining this to the customers. It's also very important that we have an internal preparation before, right? That we, with our partner, talk very clearly about what is the value for one side, what's the value for the other side, and what's the value for the customer. And if we are very clear on that, we can also communicate that very clearly to the customer.
Yeah, clarity is an important aspect. This is great advice. And I would like to dive deeper into the partnership and the relationship that's basically going on. But before we do that, I would love to play a quick game. And the game is called Either Or. It's a game of choice. And the rules are pretty simple. I mean, really simple. So I just give you, two options. Please choose one. And then if you want to, also spend one sentence, on this, briefly explaining why you chose the one over the other. So let's see. Jennifer, you go first. And it's about vacation. Ocean view or mountain view?
Oh, I hate that. I think now the latter, ocean view, because now in Munich I have a lot of mountains and I really need some ocean time, some wind, sea, and just the sun.
Makes perfect sense. All right, great. Eva, what would you either go for? One, fully fledged full day workshop, or smaller, more frequent sessions?
I would rather go for smaller sessions, depending on if it's virtual or face-to-face, by the way. If it's face-to-face, I would take a full-day workshop, because you can interact a lot and you have some coffee breaks where you can chat also a little bit offsite. If it's virtual, I would prefer the smaller ones.
Yeah. Okay, understood. All right. Okay, Jennifer, the next one is for you. Would you either work 100% on a remote island from now on, like really remote islands, or 100% in an office building, and why?
I think then actually the office building, although Digiteers is a remote first company, but I think I would really miss the people around me, because at Digiteers we still meet each other. We have our next team meeting, we go to a spa hotel and we do some strategy workshops and some work. But yeah, definitely then the office, because I would really miss like just the communication, the cooperation, and I believe that better things grow out of it if you see each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a brilliant answer. Okay, and finally, Eva, Where would you be found more often, if I would ask you? In a trendy restaurant or in a, you know, village pub?
It would, I think, more be a village pub where we can maybe be a little bit loose, a little bit more innovative, maybe also a little bit more relaxing.
Very cool. Yeah, that's a great option. Great choice. All right. Okay. So back to consulting and back to partnership. So we were on the surface, you know, having some discussions around trends, on some challenges, but now, you know, diving deeper to the partnership approach. So can you describe how the partnership approach looks like in detail, and what are some of the characteristics are?
Yeah, sure. So if you start with what we do, what we're offering, our value proposition is that we think that our formula of success is exactly the combination that we talked about earlier, about the classical strategy consulting combined with the operative work, really hands-on work. And we think that we bring everything to the table. Like Bosch has this century-long deep know-how experience, also this deep operative know-how and work. And the Digiteers, on the other hand, are a small agile company with a big digital know-how and a fast implementation ability. And if you pair this, I think we can just create the biggest customer value. And maybe just to add a little bit from the Bosch side, we are coming from, we are coming from an internal consultancy. So we have many years of experience in internal consulting. And the thing with internal consulting is that you can always be reached, right? So also if a project is finished, a colleague can always just call you and complain if he needs to. And this is why we always had our highest quality standards, right? So because we wanted to avoid exactly this. And this is something that we transfer also to our external clients, of course, this high quality standard. And then the other aspect to that is that we do not stop at slides because that's just basically also not what we're doing within Bosch, right? We really do hands-on operative work, and that's what we want to bring to our clients as well.
Yeah, and I think on top of that also, we spoke earlier about the values and what we each of us understands under, like in terms of different topics. And I think that's really important because one thing is, for example, transparency, which really also characterizes our partnership. And I really like it that we work together because we also share, for example, list of clients. I mean, not like the whole thing, because obviously we do projects on our own as well. But we share it, and we work together on slides, and we work together in the projects, not only on those slides. And I think that's really something that is really important.
Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And you can bring in, you know, good things from both worlds, like corporate and non-corporate. So that's good. Now, on the tasks and responsibilities, how do you actually, you know, delineate those? So between the partners, so it's just, you know, one party just doing the implementation, the other party doing more the strategic work, or how could you possibly, you know, arrange the jobs and the tasks you're doing?
So actually, we really depends on the client, because it really depends on the needs of the client, and then we. Go for the thing that is, or the, like how, or we go for the the strategy or the process that is best for the client. And, but actually we do both. So we really see us also in the projects at the clients in the tandem, for example, and also work there. Then, of course, we have maybe different foci, for example, one project about a smart factory, then it was more on the side of Bosch to bring in another expert that has really this industry knowledge, but and maybe a little bit more from the Digiteer side, in terms of the strategic direction. So we really, do it like that. And I also think that in terms of customer acquisition, it's kind of equal, because, and that's, I think, an interesting fact, because some projects like come from Bosch and some from Digiteer, so we both do it like both ways.
And then maybe to add, when it just comes to the operative normal daily work, it's that we work together on slides, on customer projects, and we share our tasks, right? We sit together in remote meetings, weekly meetings. But it's also the case that when there's someone very busy with another project, the other one just jumps in and does a little bit more. So it's a very collaborative way of working, I would say.
Yeah, okay, understood. And you know, on the partnership approach now, do you communicate your value proposition and the solutions that you have as if it would come from one single source? Or are you more, you know, transparent and say, well, no, this is actually, as you said before, a partnership approach between at least two companies? And how is the sourcing? Like, do you know, can you just single source at least from one, you know, of your companies? Or do the clients even not want this anymore? So how's that working?
Mm-hmm. So it also depends on the client, but I mean, our preferred way is actually one face to the customer. So we really try, for example, when we start the conversations with the clients, that we say, okay, this is what Bosch can offer, this is what DigiTears can offer, but this is what we can do together. And for each client, we really work it out what this like sweet spot is. And then we really try to offer it in a joint way, but it really depends. We had it now in the commercial terms, for example, that we did it then separately because it was just easier. So we do it really both ways. And I think to do that, it's really important, to trust each other and to have this transparent communication, because otherwise it's not possible.
But maybe Chris, to add to your question, we are always honest to what we bring on the tables, what Bosch brings on the table, what DigiTear does. So always this, what is the value that our strength from Bosch and what's the DigiTear strength? So we are very transparent in the customer context. And I think that's also something the customer really appreciates and understands as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, now let's get real. Can you give us some examples, you know, of your work, like any project examples, any outcomes, anything you can share? Obviously, which is not confidential.
I cannot share the name, but I can say which industry. So it's an automotive OEM, for example. Yeah. And I think that's also very important or very interesting that we focus on clients that we both can handle or that we both have something to offer. So it's mainly in the industry section. And that was one automotive client, and we did an agile project, and this one came more from DigiTears, and we needed really an expert in the field of agile transformation who really did it like the day by day, and who did the transformation like the past 5 or 10 years at least. And this was really a success. So that's one. And maybe another one, it's a little bit newer. So we are right in the middle of it. It's also with an industry client, but it's a mid-sized company. And they are more hardware focused, and their business model is as well. So they wanted to change their business model, or at least wanted to develop some options for them for more digital business models. And that's what we're doing with them together. And that's also a lot of fun, I would say.
And I think to add to what Jennifer just said, to the last project, it's also just to give you an example. What we bring to the table, Bosch, and what can DigiTears bring to the table, is that we as Bosch bring in our innovation know-how. We use our Bosch innovation framework on how to test new ideas, how to build them up. But what is not our strength so far is to develop MVPs and prototype very quickly, right? And at this part, DigiTears jumps in where they say, hey, we can do this very quickly in a very lean way. And so we can really combine those strengths and create the biggest value for the customer.
Got it. Okay, that's the tandem you've been basically talking about. Okay, makes perfect sense. Okay, so I think I understand. Now let's try to summarize what we learned today into some actionable recommendations. So my question to you would be, in your opinion, you know, what are the most important success factors, and also, you know, maybe three or so recommendations from your partnering approach that you would give to others who maybe try to build or are building or have built a similar partnership?
So it would be for me honesty and transparency. That's what also Jennifer just mentioned, that we're really transparent in who the client list and who are we talking to, so that you can really build up a trust foundation. And then it's what we already talked about, the delineation of tasks, a clear delineation. So who does what, that needs to be clear. And then maybe on the softer side, it's also you have to have fun and it kind of has to match. So when we met for the first time, it was pretty clear or pretty soon that we are kind of on the same value base, that we share the same values and that we also have the same perspectives about how do we want to treat our clients and how do we work. Our working style was a kind of the same or similar. So this is all a very good base, a foundation for building up a successful partnership.
Maybe in addition, just a small thing, we also had the same outcome in mind. So we, what Eva told us previously, this implementation focus or this outcome drivenness, that we don't only want to produce slides, but we are rather focused on real outcomes and long lasting outcomes for the client. And because what we also saw is that a lot of consultancies or companies write it then on their website first, but they don't do any projects. And we kind of do it the other way around, which is do it first, learn from it, iterate a little bit, and then maybe put it somewhere. But I think that's also something we can share.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. That is great, great advice. Okay. And we are approaching already the end of this episode, but before, I will want to hear on your rockstar moment. So Jennifer, maybe you go first. When you look back on your professional career and reflect about that, what would you say was your greatest innovation asset? So innovation rockstar moment so far.
Innovation rockstar moment. Yes. I think it was a lot of rock stars actually, because when I think about it, it was, so not me, but a lot of other rock stars. I think it was like, some years ago at a client, and we had like a yearly kickoff in January, and they wanted to do a kickoff for all the C-level people, and it was like 20 C-level people from different business units. And until this point, they thought design thinking, innovative methods, it's only putting nice, colorful post-its somewhere, and they didn't really grasp it, what it really was. And in that workshop, we managed within 1.5 days, it was more 1 day, to create, to start with a problem and to create a whole virtual reality app, a prototype of it, and with those C-levels, so there were no other people, and they did it. And I think it was, for me, those little rock stars, because I could really see the change in their minds. And I think that was the greatest thing for me.
That's a great moment. All right, Eva, what about you? Your rockstar, your innovation rockstar moment.
I think my innovation rockstar moment was when we were validating a lot of ideas, right? And we had 24 startup teams at that time that were testing their ideas on the market. And then at the end of that 8 weeks, 12 teams came up on stage and they said they are a no-go. So meaning they will not go on with the idea because they have just no evidence from the market that their idea will be successful in the future. And those ideas, they got, or those no-go decisions, they got much more applause from the audience than the actual go ones. And for me, this is a rockstar moment because it indicates a mindset change in the organization. Right, that you celebrate failure, that you celebrate not failure specifically, but also stopping projects very early and putting the resources into new ideas. So that was my rockstar moment.
Yeah, that's also great. And recently somebody told me maybe it's not about fail fast, fail early, but actually about fail fast, fix fast. So maybe that's something we could also discuss in an upcoming episode. But that's, thank you for the rockstar moments. And with this episode, with this, we actually wrap up this episode. So Eva, Jennifer, thanks for this great conversation. It was great having you on the show.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you so much, Chris.
It was very fun.
All right. And to everybody listening or watching, if you like the show, leave us a rating or a review and share the podcast with whomever you want. And if you want to get in touch, simply shoot us a message at info@innovationrockstars.show. Now that's it. Thanks for your time. See you in the next episode. Take care and bye-bye.
Innovation Rockstars.
These were innovation rock stars Dr. Eva Mitterreiter from Bosch and Jennifer Graf from Digiteers on Partnering for Innovation. If you would like to give us feedback on this episode, or know someone, perhaps yourself, who also has some thrilling stories or insights to share from the world of corporate innovation, just shoot us a note at info@innovationrockstars.show. You like the show? Then leave us a rating and recommend it to others. For more inspiring innovation stories, visit our website at www.innovationrockstars.show or browse through our Innovation Rockstars channel on all major podcast platforms.